The epistle for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, see how you walk circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, become not unwise, but understanding what is the will of God. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is luxury, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God and the Father, being subject one to another in the fear of Christ. Thus far the reading of the epistle. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, which is that of St. John. At that time there was a certain ruler whose son was sick at Capernaum. And having heard that Jesus was come from Judea into Galilee, went to him and prayed him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you believe not." The ruler saith to him, "Lord, come down before my son die." Jesus saith to him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." The man believed the word which Jesus said to him, and went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him, and they brought word, saying that his son lived. He asked therefore of them the hour wherein he grew better. And they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father therefore knew that it was at the same hour that Jesus said to him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. As for the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, we just saw in today's gospel the history of the ruler whose son was sick, and at the end of the gospel, after the ruler not only believed what Jesus said but also had it confirmed to him by his servants who met him on the way back home, he believed. And his whole household, all those that lived in his house. Now that's a great thing when a ruler converts. It's very important that the rulers of the world be converted. But what is more important is that we convert ourselves. We have the name of being Catholic. We profess that we believe the Holy Roman Catholic faith, and that we're members of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. But we all still need to be converted. And we need it every day. We need to be converted from our vices, our bad habits, our selfishness, our pride, every day. Because no matter how many days we've already done so, if we have it all, it creeps back. Sometimes it comes roaring back. And I'd like to take a little time to speak about the faith, because the faith admits of strength and weakness. This ruler in today's gospel already believed that Jesus could heal his son, and so he came and begged him to come down and heal his son. But what apparently was lacking is that Jesus could have healed him without going down to where his son was. And the ruler maybe never thought of this, but He asked him to come and heal his son. Jesus did it without coming. We say in the Apostles' Creed, at the very beginning of it, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. And today's gospel again reminds us that God is almighty. Once, while Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus was still a little girl, and she was studying her catechism, they asked her, "What does that mean that God is almighty?" And she sort of knew the answer, as a little girl might easily know. And she said, "That means that he can do what he wants." In other words, he can do anything. So he could heal someone at a distance as well as nearby. And, of course, you know that he doesn't always heal. Sometimes the notion gets around among us that all God is for is to heal us and to give us the things that we want. Well, that's only a little part of what God does, and he doesn't always do that. But he always does that which is the best for the salvation of his saints. And we have to consider ourselves among them and act accordingly. And if we do, then we'll be his saints. So he can do anything he wants. God is almighty. And in the case of this ruler, his faith was weaker and became stronger on occasion of the miracle. We all need a strengthening of our faith, like he did, like he received. We do not always receive it through miracles. We do not always receive a strengthening of faith through good things. There are times when our faith must be strengthened through evil. And it often is tested by evil. How often do I hear someone say, "Father, you know, I've been praying for this thing for 10 years or whatever, and I still haven't received it." Well, it could easily be that God is testing your faith. Do you really believe? And you might ask yourself, what is it that I'm asking for in particular? Imagine some of the petitions that you've made before in your prayers to God. God grant me this, or God grant me that. Think of one of them that you've asked for in the past. And now ask yourself, is that something that God definitely wants? Or is it something that he maybe wants and maybe doesn't? Is it something that I thought of? Or is it something that God told me that I need? And we have to examine our petitions and see, what are we asking for? It's very important that we ask for the things that we know that God wants for us. And you can be sure that he wants you to be obedient to his commandments. That's one thing we all know God wants for us. He does not want anyone to be disobedient to his commandments. And that means he wants you, in particular, to be obedient to his commandments. Now, that would make fine material for a petition. "Dear God, grant me to always be obedient to your commandments. Always." Now, what do you think God's going to think when he hears that kind of a question? He's going to say, good. That's just what I thought I wanted for you. Or he might say, I thought you'd never ask. Sure, I will help you to be obedient to my commandments. Instead, often though, we allow our hearts to wander off to those things which are forbidden. And sometimes even think that that's what's good for us. Instead, no, it's not good for us. Then we can ask ourselves if we really want what God wants for us. Do I really want to be, for example, humble? Anyone ask you, are you humble? You should tell them, absolutely not. I'm really proud. I'm trying to become humble, or at least I wish I were trying. None of us are as humble as we ought to be. And every one of us is infected with pride to some degree or another. And God wants us to be completely pride-free. He wants us to be humble. So, how do we go about it? Then we have to ask for it. Dear God, please humble me wherever I'm proud. Take away the pride and give me instead the virtue of humility so that I can be pleasing to you and so that you can give me your grace. And then be careful, because after asking that, he will find some humiliations for you. And we have to take them in a humble way. And then we begin to be virtuous, begin to be humble. So we ask for obedience, the grace to be obedient to his commandments, to be humble. We should ask for the virtues, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Those you can be sure God wants you to have them. There is no question. Ask for a strengthening of faith. Oh God, as one of the other men who Jesus cured, his son or something like that, he said to him, do you believe with all your heart? And the man said, I believe. Help my unbelief. In other words, yes, to some degree, Lord, but not completely. Help me to have the faith that I should have. Help me to have the faith which you and your Holy Scripture says moves mountains. And what is more of a mountain to move than a stubborn heart that does not want to submit to the rules of God? But our faith, if we really believe, will move our stubborn hearts if it's a strong enough faith to love and obey God instead of the distractions which the devil places before us. And for hope, notion goes around today, especially in the Novus Ordo, the notion that we're all going to heaven. Well, it's not true. Who's going to heaven? Those that die in the true faith and the grace of God and His holy church. Those that die without the grace, they do not go to heaven. It is not possible because they do not have the means to enter heaven. It takes certain tools to get inside, and the biggest one is grace. So, the notion that all will go to heaven, that's false, because not everyone dies with grace in their souls. But that does not mean that we cannot go. All we need to do is be members in good standing of the Roman Catholic Church, keep grace in our souls, not forfeit that grace by committing any serious sins, and stay this way until death, we shall have heaven. But if we do not keep God's grace, we will not have heaven. So what is hope then? It's the certitude, a sure expectation of going to heaven, provided I do my part. And doing our part gives us the assurance of heaven. It is not something which is not founded in our own behavior. The hope of heaven is founded on God's promise and our behavior. And if we behave as God demands with the Ten Commandments and the faith and charity in the church, God will always save that person who has done so until death. There is no doubt about that. So hope is always based on first God's promises, but also upon our own actions. And the third theological virtue is charity. Do we ask for charity in our prayers? We should ask to be filled with love. First of all and foremost for God. Are our hearts often drawn up and attracted to God as they should be? I'm afraid in most cases it's not like it should be. We should love God with all our hearts. And in the gospel we read a little more about the strength of love. He said, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. To love Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, with all your powers. How many of us today do so, even once in a while? And this is what the Lord has commanded us in the gospel. And so in order to love God, first we need to ask. Dear God, without your help, I can't really do it. And I'm asking for help. Help me to love you like I should. And then use some common sense and think over God's goodness and his perfections. Think of his goodness. That there is not one evil thought or desire at all in God. Everything he thinks and desires is all good. And that he loves you more than you realize. Much more than you'll ever be able to realize. And that he has blessed you with every good thing you ever had. And anything you might have yet to come, that's good. Without God, you would not have it. And if you have good things, either present or future, because God gave them to you. You might say, well, I worked for this thing and I earned it. Okay, but there are those people who work and earn things and they don't get them either. In your case, you got it. Some of you have worked and earned things and you didn't get them either. But in any case, all the good we have is gifts of God. Blessing from God. And even those things which trouble us and are evils, when God allows them to fall on us, we must not say that God did it. God is never the author of evil. It's always some wicked creature like ourselves who's the author of evil. Instead, God has permitted that to happen for your good. Mostly so that we can prove our faith and also by our patience, be worthy of big rewards in the next life. And if we prove ourselves here, then we can have those rewards there. So he allows us to suffer certain things. And so when we pray, like this ruler who came and asked for the son to be healed, remember that we must first of all ask for those things which are for our salvation. If we are neglecting those things and asking for other things, then we make God into the big sugar daddy in the sky who just does whatever his little spoiled kid wants. And that's not what we need. We need a real Father in heaven. A Father who loves us and encourages in us what is good for us and discourages us in those things which are not good for us. A Father who is not afraid to spank and correct his children when it is for their own correction and good. A Father who really loves us will not let us be spoiled, but he wants us to be virtuous and good, because this life is short and eternity is long. And so today we see this example, how Jesus gave something which was not really salvation of anyone's soul. What did he do? He healed a boy that had a fever. So he didn't die from the fever. He was going to die from it. And that healing was for a greater purpose. When the man heard it confirmed by his servants as they came up to meet him, the Holy Gospel, John writes in the Holy Gospel, then he believed, and his whole house believed, all his family. They also believed, because they had seen signs and wonders, just as Jesus told him, unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe. And he wanted them to believe strongly, and so he gave them that sign and that wonder. He does not give signs and wonders to everyone. He does not do miracles for all of us, only for a few, just to prove that he can. And he does it also to encourage us to really believe in him. But as Jesus told St. Thomas after he had not believed in the resurrection of Jesus, he said to him, Thomas, you have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are they who have not seen me, and yet they believe. In other words, it's a good thing you believe me, Thomas, but it'd be better for you if it had been the other way, and you did not need to see me or to see a miracle in order to believe. And so our faith must be tested and strengthened by our own determination to believe it. Because even though it's logical and it's well demonstrated by facts and by history that our faith is the one true faith, it still takes an action of the heart to believe. And we have to want to believe. We make up our minds, I'm going to believe the Catholic religion. And then when we say the Apostles' Creed, or at the Mass, when we sing in Latin the Nicene Creed, then our heart and soul is in it. We say we believe these things, we sing about it in the Mass, but it's not just lip service. Our heart believes, as well as our mind. And when our heart is focused on the holy faith, Then we move mountains. The mountain of our stubbornness, the mountain of temptations which we resist by the faith, and all the other mountains which may get in our way of salvation, are plowed aside like so much dust. Because the faith is powerful. And when the faith is strong, nothing can stop it. So let us spend this time after Pentecost, and especially this week, the week of the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, let us spend a time asking for those things which lead to salvation. We may ask for other things, but let us not put them as more important than the things which pertain to salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.